Turn in your Bibles to the fourth chapter of the book of Acts. Acts chapter 4. We're coming back to our series about This Is How. And we're going to talk about how to witness for Christ. This is how to witness for Christ. And if you could, or you would, for the reading of the word, let us stand. I'm going to read Acts chapter 4, verses 1 through verse 13. How to witness for Christ, hear the word of the Lord. And as they were speaking to the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, greatly annoyed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they arrested them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. But many of those who had heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to be about 5,000. On the next day, their rulers and elders and scribes gathered together in Jerusalem with Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander, and all were who of the high priestly family? And when they had set them in the midst, they inquired, "By what power or by what name did you do this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated common men, they were astonished and they recognized that they had been with Jesus. Father, be with us, Spirit. Make Jesus real to us. We know, Holy Spirit, that you are a person, and you make the person of Jesus personal to us. Make this message personal, that we might personally go and witness for the Lord Jesus Christ in your power, Holy Spirit, and in your name, Lord Jesus. Father, please help us to hear today. Amen. You may be seated. We often think about witnessing, and we think, well, we need some training, and we overcome objections, and we hear terms like apologetics, and, you know, making a defense for the faith. And people will talk about 1 Peter 3:15, sanctify the Lord God in your heart, and be ready always to give an answer for the hope that lies within you. We think of verses like Philemon 1:6, where he says, acknowledge everything good in you that is in Christ Jesus. And we talk about the Romans road. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift, right, of God is life eternal in Christ Jesus, right? If you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, you'll be saved. These things, and we have done way of the master, you know, present the Ten Commandments so people can see their sin and then present the gospel of Jesus Christ. And those are all good and necessary and right things. Yes, indeed. And those are sort of methods within the building, as it were. What we're going to do today is talk about sort of the superstructure of the building, the framework of how to witness for Christ. And one thing I want to make sure that you get through to you is that we're not responsible for anything other than being a witness, for being willing to die to ourselves and live to God and get the message of the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ out to sinners. And then God is the one that's responsible to draw them. Yes, we can be persuasive. Yes, we can learn technique. Yes, we can understand and talk to different cults and different ideas and all that. Yes, 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 I get that. But in the midst of that, what we need to begin with is a basic foundational understanding of what are we talking about? Well, we're talking about Jesus. Yes, no doubt about it. 2 weeks ago, when it was Pentecost Sunday, we did a sermon called The Spirit Descends. And we talked about the fact that the message of Pentecost wasn't some people have and some people don't. Some people are saved and they get something, and some people are saved but they don't get something. No, the fact was that everybody gets it. That was the point. We saw in Acts 1:8 that we don't know exactly when God's going to come back, but we know this, that we, the apostles, were going to give power. It says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you to witness, right? And to be my witnesses in Judea, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the outermost parts of the earth. And then we saw that begin in Acts chapter 2, where all these people from different places that were Jews, but they were from different places, showing that they were going to be into the kingdom of God. The power of the Spirit is the power to witness. And he makes us bold to deliver the message. The message of Pentecost, get this in your head and in your heart, was that the message would spread to everyone and that everyone would spread the message. The message would spread to everyone and everyone would spread the message. Because remember, it's in all these different languages, we hear them in our own language. It was spreading everywhere. The grace of God that brings salvation would appear to all men. Not that all men would receive it, not that all men were saved, but that everybody that receives will be saved. And they can be Jew, Gentile, Greek, black, white, tall, short, poor, rich, old, young, man, woman, no matter what, they can be saved. And all need to be saved. So it was going to spread to everyone. That was the message. Because the Holy Spirit was going to use people to spread it. And all sorts of people. We saw that in verses 17 through 21. Because instead of saying, okay, old men have to dream dreams, young men have to see visions, young men and women have to prophesy, this, that, and the other. No. It's not about that. It's saying, even old men are going to get it, and they're going to spread the message. Even young men are going to get it, and they're going to spread the message. Even women are going to get it. Even slaves are going to get it. We see that again in Titus chapter 2. The message of Pentecost was that the Spirit was coming to save people through the atonement of Jesus Christ and to spread the message to everyone and through everyone. When I say everyone, everyone that receives, okay? It was an inclusive thing. The one thing that was to draw us all together, that broke down the wall between Jew and Gentile, between slave and free, between all of these things, is the one thing we wound up using to separate us rather than bring us together. And we talked about that a few weeks ago, again, in our sermon, The Spirit Descends. The Holy Spirit broke down racial, gender, class, social, and age barriers. And now, why are we talking about that when we get here in chapter 4? Because we see the spread of that. And we see these men performing a miracle, and they get in trouble for it. And we see filled with the Spirit a couple times in this chapter. So I want to talk a little bit about that. How to witness for Christ. Because we talk about witnessing in the power of the Holy Spirit. Well, what does that mean? What does the Spirit bear witness to? Now, when we talked about our sermon a couple weeks ago, we talked about that it was the promise of the Father. Wait till you be endued with power on high, till you receive the promise of the Father. And we talked about the fact that it's not this or that, it's the power to witness. But the promise of the Father was many things. And we looked at John 14, 16, and 17, that He's a comforter. At John 15, 26, that He's a witness. And we're going to come back to that. In verses 6, in chapter 16, 7 through 11, that He bring conviction. And then 12 through 15, that He bring revelation. But I want to focus on something specific. Let's go back to John chapter 15, verse 26. This was the promise of the Father. This is what the Holy Spirit was going to bear witness to. He says, but when the Helper comes, that's Parakletos, that is the Holy Spirit, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, He will bear witness about Me. What does the Holy Spirit do? Bear witness to Jesus. Keep following Me, please. He will bear witness about Me, and you will also bear witness because you have been with Me from the beginning. The Holy Spirit is a witness for and of Christ. Amen? Do we get that? We know that He speaks of Jesus, not of Himself. He's there to make Jesus real to people. But He does so in a certain way. And that's what I want to get to today, because we're talking about how to witness for Christ. Are you with me? Are you with me? One more time, are you with me? It's 11:30. We will get communion done and this sermon done, and we'll be nice and tidy and go next door and do all that. But you just hang out with me for a second here. Because the Spirit bears witness to Christ. Does anybody in this room doubt that at all? We know that for sure, right? That's an easy one, right? But He bears witness in a certain way. Developed in all kinds of different ways, but in a certain framework. And here it is. Chapter 16, verses 7 through 11. He says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. Boy, they didn't think that was the case at the time, did they? They just saw Him die and then rise from the dead. This is before that, actually, but they saw that and they thought, He's going away? Remember, they stood up looking and going, uh-oh, there He goes. And the angel said, what are you doing? You got your marching orders. Power's coming. He goes, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send Him to you. And when He comes, He will convict the world. Someone say, the world. Not just believers, the world. Are you hearing me? He will convict the world. Not necessarily every single person in the world, but this is his job, is to convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you will see me no longer. You have to bear witness of Christ and his righteousness because we don't physically see him. And concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judging. You're either in the kingdom of God or the kingdom of the devil, and that's it. We are born once into the kingdom of men. We must be born again into the kingdom of God. Jesus did not call it a universal brotherhood of man. There is no such thing. There is a universal neighborhood of man. We be good to our neighbors. But Jesus told the Pharisees, you are of your father, the devil. And the Bible calls us sons of disobedience before it calls us sons of God. Right? So you're either in God's kingdom or in the kingdom of darkness. No fence riding. Devil owns the fence. All right? So what does the Holy Spirit do? He witnesses of Christ. And how does he do this? He convinces of what? He convicts of what? Sin, righteousness, and judgment. That is the framework of what he does. Do you hear me? And so what's happening is whatever situation it is at the grocery store, in the line, and someone says, well, there's that preacher again. There go those hypocritical Christians again. And we're thinking, okay, well, how do I... First of all, the door's open. They just did it. And you say, well, you know, that's true. There's a lot of people that think that Jesus has paid for their sin and they're fooling themselves. And we see them when we fall. You're right, you know. You go with them. You're speaking of sin, righteousness, judgment. You can do it just like that. Jesus said that there'll be many in that day that say, Lord, Lord, didn't we do this? Didn't we do that? And he's going to go, get out of here. I never knew you.
That's right.
Sin, righteousness, judgment. Those are the three things you are trying to move around to. And when you're doing that, is the Spirit bearing witness to Jesus through that? Yes. That's what he says in the text. What does he convict the world of? And see, you just go out there and you witness, and God has been doing the work through somebody else that has been talking to him. Maybe they read the Bible. Maybe they picked up a Gideon's Bible. Hallelujah. Maybe you're the first person and then the next person. Paul says, I planted, Apollos watered, God gives the increase. You're somewhere on the track there, but all we do is speak of sin, righteousness, and judgment as it relates to Christ. Yes. Notice I didn't say the love of God. Notice I didn't say that. That's not how you lead. God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Not if you ain't a Christian. You're just going to add Jesus into the mix? Or do you have to know that you're a sinner? How did you get saved? You realized that you were a sinner? That the only way out of that pit was Jesus? And you said, I got to have me some of that. Sin, righteousness, judgment. You don't have to say, and I'm going to speak to you about sin, righteousness, and judgment. It doesn't work like that, but this is the framework. You see what I'm saying? You say, but, yeah, I know. Get busy. Let's start developing that. But as you are witnessing to what the Spirit is witnessing to, is the power of the Spirit going to be with you to do that? Yes. And so you don't have to develop all this thing and all that thing. You can just go out there these people were uneducated men. But they knew they had been with Jesus. Why? Because in this text, in chapter 4, you see what Peter does. He speaks of sin, righteousness, and judgment. That's what we witness to, because that's what the Spirit bears witness to. And he says, I will be the witness to you, because he's still the witness to you, isn't he? That even though we're justified, we're declared righteous, there's still this sin that he wants to work on and get us to be sanctified. And judgment. Righteousness. Jesus is righteous based on his righteous standing. We begin to live righteous lives. But we know that the judgment's already passed. It has been on Jesus for us. And certain people are being convicted about that. And then we witness to them of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And we don't have to waffle and say, well, but if I speak like that, and if I could just get them to, you know, no. He doesn't bear witness to your wishy-washiness. He bears witness to sin, righteousness, and judgment. Sin, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Righteousness, because there's only one righteous, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And judgment, because you're either in Christ or you're in hell. period. You don't have to be a flamethrower. Well, maybe I do. You don't have to be a flamethrower like that all the time. You do it within the context of the love of God and the peace of God. There's joy and peace, but it's in believing. And there's no other way to believe except by Jesus Christ. Why? Because Jesus is the only one that's righteous. And if you don't have Him, you ain't got what it takes. Why? Because you have sin. And even one sin sends you to hell, because one sin messes up a perfect universe. The problem is you. That's why the universe has messed up you. You're the one that sinned. Don't look at anybody else. You. Oh, one sin doesn't deserve hell, does it not? It's sin against God. And see, everybody that's in here that's being sanctified realize that. And as you come closer to God, it builds more and more up to you. And if that just still offends you, you need to get some more Jesus. Sin, righteousness, judgment. That is what the Holy Spirit... Does it not say that in the text? Did we not just go from John 15 to John 16, talk about when the Holy Spirit comes, what we will do? And then we see the sermon on Acts chapter 2 and what Peter talked about. And he talked about sin, righteousness, and judgment. You can look in there. It's right in there. And then in chapter 3, what happens is they heal this man that was crippled. And so the Sadducees were getting all upset. Why? Because the Sadducees were the sect that weren't the Pharisees. The Pharisees believed in a resurrection from the dead, although they didn't believe Jesus was the Messiah. The Sadducees were sad, you see. And they did not believe that there was a resurrection from the dead. So here is Peter and John, and they're saying, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give to you. Rise in the name of Jesus and walk. And so the man walked, and he was like 40 years old. So it's like if Miss Adelaide got her sight all of a sudden, there's no joking around it. The whole county knows she's blind, right? So if this person, like Paul Dickinson, if he gets up and he walks, man, you know, hey, here they are in chapter 4. They grab him and take him and say, you can't do this. How did you do this thing? And Peter says, what? It's in the name of Jesus Christ that we did this thing. And then he begins to talk to him. And it says, Peter, filled with the Spirit. Filled with the Spirit. And what was the context? Being a witness for Christ. Being a witness for Christ. And what does he say? Let's look at verse 8, shall we? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, danced around, rolled on the floor, spoke in something I didn't understand. And I'm not trying to just knock everybody down. I'm saying, look at what it says. Don't want to make just too much fun. Let's not worry about that. But look at what it says. It says, filled with the Holy Spirit, said, first of all, he was bold. We see that, right? He wasn't worried about it. These people were going to do this little thing called kill him. You know, they were tired of this. Filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the peoples and elders, I'm going to paraphrase. You're talking, you want to know how this is done? Let me tell you how it's done. Jesus is how it's done. And you guys crucified him. And you rejected him. And he's the one, see, they had sin. He's the one that is the cornerstone. He's the only one by which we've been saved. Righteousness and judgment. It's right there. Let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him. See, he happened to use a miracle in this sense there. But we don't have to do miracles like that to get the same kind of power, the power of the Holy Spirit to witness of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Because sometimes it wasn't about miracles. Sometimes Paul and other people just came in. And then people after that, over the past 2,000 years, have not necessarily had this miracle-working power. And yet people still come to Jesus. Why? Because people witness to them of sin, righteousness, and judgment. When you got saved, was it because someone healed you of blindness? I don't think there's anybody in the room that got like that. But why did you come to Jesus? Because you were convicted of your sin. You realized, wait a minute. I have sinned. And someone talked to you about sin. Say, brother, are you saved? What do you mean saved? Saved from what? Well, saved from God's wrath. What do you mean God's wrath? And you just talked about it. You were bold. Someone was bold enough to talk to you. You know, we go to the jail and we say, look, you're in a bad fix. And Jesus may get you out of there, he may not, but he'll get you out of eternal jail, eternal hell. And as good as it can be that good now and it'll be perfect forever. But let me tell you something. If the world gets you in trouble because you ran over somebody when you were drunk, what's God going to do? Because you think he doesn't love those people? He loves them more than you do. He loves them so much he did this. You see, but you speak out of it in terms of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Sin. Jesus, if you were the only person that ever sinned, would have died for you. But if you were the only person that ever sinned, he would have still had to die for you to prove God's righteousness. This is how bad sin is, that the only righteous one had to die to pay for it. He that knew no sin, that is Jesus, became sin for us. that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. On the cross, Jesus was there, the perfect one. He did not actually have sin on Him. God accounted it to Him. And God saw Jesus as you and punished. And He saw you as Jesus and rewarded. And that's the transaction that happened. And we speak of sin. Can you save yourself? Absolutely not. When you got up in the morning, were you God? If you were, where's my Cadillac and some other stuff? Right? Well, you can complain about your husband or wife. Well, if you're God, you know what's going on there. You're not God. All right? So, we know we're not perfect. You see, you can get your sin paid for, but if you don't have the righteousness that God gives to you, you don't have it. That's why people say, oh, yeah, I know, Jesus died for my sins. And they know it intellectually. Yeah, repent. Yeah. But that's why I like to talk about righteousness. Because, you know, your sin can be paid for, and that just puts you at zero. How are you going to get the positive righteousness? See, it's not just Jesus' death that matters. It's His life. He had to come to fulfill all righteousness. Otherwise, He would have died at 3 years old, not 33 years old. But see, He did not just die the death that we deserve to die. He lived the life that we should have lived. And both get accredited to us. So the next time someone just tries to throw up the smoke screen, oh yeah, I know Jesus died. And if people don't want to talk about Jesus, they ain't got Jesus. They may be busy and all that, I understand. But there's a lot of people in America that think they are saved and they don't have Jesus. They don't have Jesus. Let me explain something to you. Say I owed Ed $1,000. And Ed's having a big party over at the camp house. And Sue says, JD wants to come to the party. And he goes, that guy owes me $1,000. This guy's a loser. No way. So, oh, you got to be a Christian. Come on. And Sue talks to me, and I go, yeah, okay. Here, Ed, here's my $1,000. Okay, whew, well, the debt's been paid. Yeah, debt's been paid. Okay. All right, you can kind of hang out a little while. And then I say, well, you know, but I don't have a place to stay tonight. Wait a minute. Okay, I'm not mad at you anymore because the debt's been paid, but now I'm going to let you stinker, stay in my house. But then it gets more. Well, now I need to live in the house. I don't have any more money to give you. I'm still stinky old me. Oh, I'll get better because I appreciate, but, you know. Oh, and one more thing. I'd like to use the checkbook. You see? We're not just justified. We're sanctified. We become glorified. We're adopted into the family of God. We're children of God. We're heirs with Him. We get the checkbook. We don't write it all right now. There's got to be two signatures on those checks. You know what I mean? But the fact of the matter is, we don't just get our sins paid for. We get the righteousness of Jesus. So you could be a great person, better than anybody in this room. And first of all, you're not as good as Jesus, sin and righteousness. And if you're not as good, believe me, you can say, oh, but how can He send anyone to hell? He doesn't. You go there. Either in His account, in His kingdom, or the kingdom, which one do you want? Which one do you want? If we have lunch here every Sunday, which we do, after the service, and you come and you eat, you're welcome. We make extra so that you may come. And if you don't, no problem. I'm not mad. But you can't complain to me. Well, you're invited. Come in. Sin, righteousness, judgment. This is what the Holy Spirit bears witness to about Christ. Sin, because everybody has sinned against Christ. They don't believe in Him. Believe in Him what? That He's the Son of God, that He's the sinless, spotless, perfect Lamb of God who was given for our sins, because He is righteous and He's the only one that can pay for it. And judgment, if you continue not believing in Him, and you continue in your sin, and you haven't given it to Jesus, you will not have His righteousness, and you will be judged forever. Because you can't afford the currency of sin against God. And all that I just traipsed through right there, the fact of the matter is, what you need to know is what the Spirit bears witness to. Sin, righteousness, and judgment. You're a sinner. God's the Savior. You must be saved. Look what it says in verse 11 and 12 here. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected. Again, sin. By you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone, the righteousness. And there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Verses 10 through 12. Sin, righteousness, and judgment. And if you are witnessing, and you're witnessing about those things, sin, righteousness, and judgment, the power of the Holy Spirit will be with you. Will be with you, because that's what Jesus is about. And that's what the Holy Spirit bears witness to. Are you hearing me? Now, here's this thing here. In verse 8, it says, Peter filled with the Spirit. And so we say, okay, I'm going to pray, and I'm going to be ready, and then, Lord, fill me with the Spirit, and if I don't feel it, then I'm not going out there. And then sometimes we do feel it, and we think, oh, I just got to have that feeling again. And people urge this is the answer to everything. This is the answer to witnessing. You've got to witness in the power of the Spirit. Well, they're right. But what they mean by that is often wrong, because people think it's just always this instantaneous thing. But it's an ongoing thing. And the verse, Ephesians 5:18, says, be being filled with the Spirit. But then it gives you the context of that. Singing to one another, submitting to one another, all of that is in the context of community. And here was Peter going out there, and he was in the context of the church being spread. And he had already been filled once, and he was being filled. And so in that moment, he did receive that. But you see it in the rest of the chapter. They became bold, and they talked about sin and judgment and righteousness. And then the place was shook, and they were filled. And these were the same people that had been filled before, and some new ones. The truth is that all Christians are Spirit-filled to some degree. Being filled is a process. It can happen in an instance, but it's spoken of more in terms of what's going on in your life, what you're being filled with. The fruit of the Spirit is indicative of how much you're filled. The more you're filled, the more the fruit. The more you make yourself available to witness, the more you make yourself ready to be filled with the Spirit. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever you sow, you shall reap. If you sow to the flesh, of the flesh, you will reap corruption. If you sow to the Spirit, of the Spirit, you will reap eternal life. You have one column, and over the top of it says God. You have another column, and over the top of it says the devil. Which one are you filling? Are you filling towards the Spirit, or are you filling towards the self? Do you hear me? You're filling up something. Something's happening. But see, we think in terms of, but the economy's bad, so I want to talk to them about Jesus giving them, you know, that they'll get out of their financial mess and all that. You can talk to them about all that you want, and people can get better with worldly advice or even biblical principles without actually getting saved. And what's more important? Getting saved. We need to live in the light of eternity, not in the light of economy. Sin, righteousness, and judgment. Yes, Jesus will lead you to live a better life because you'll put those bad things down. But it took you a long time to get in that pit, and it's going to take you a little while to get out of it. Sometimes Jesus gets us right out of some of them, but sometimes He lets us go through the valley of the shadow of death. But it's a joyous thing when you are filled with the Spirit of God, but you always got to be filling. See, we want to be full, we just don't want to be filled. You know what I'm saying? We want to be full. When I come in here and someone pray on me, woo, and I fall down, woo, I'm filled. And then go out there and just like, it's like we turn off a valve. Woo, there it all goes. Yeah, guilty as charged, I know. But being filled with the Spirit. Convincing yourself of the gospel every day. The gospel that justifies you is the same one that sanctifies you. And the more light you have, the more dust you see. And you convince yourself of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Oh my, Lord. That thing is so bad. I'm so sorry. I get it out of my life. And it was something that 5 years ago you would have said, that's no big deal. So sin gets bigger and bigger in your life, and the cross gets bigger and bigger in your life. Otherwise, you're going to have despair. But see, you have the sin, but then you have the righteousness. Oh, my goodness, what a terrible sinner. Oh, my gracious, wonderful God. It's like a pendulum swinging back and forth. And it's moving farther and faster, and you're more healthy, believe it or not, because you feel the tension. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and do of His good pleasure. He brings the conviction of sin even after you are a Christian. The Holy Spirit is still bearing witness to Jesus. Bearing witness of what? Look, buddy, you got this sin. Aren't you believing enough in Jesus? Righteousness. But you have Him. You're justified. You're going to make it. Now you can live for it. And judgment. You ain't got to worry about that. There's no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. Go for it, man. Swing for the fence. So you fell down. You get back up because I'm walking in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. He always makes us to triumph in Christ. We're willing captives. And so, yes, we keep a short lease on sin. Yes, we grow to see just how holy God is. And we realize that the judgment is past and that we can live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Are you hearing me? And so you might think, well, but I still need to know this. Okay, fine. But bottom line, the Spirit bears witness to sin, righteousness, and judgment. And the more you are around Jesus, the more people will know. Look at the proof. Verse 13. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John to do what? To talk about Jesus. You ain't got to be bold if God's giving you the power to get someone healed. And then, hey, that's not bold. Bold is someone's going to kill you. Someone's going to look down at you. Someone's going to say, oh, you're just a kid. Why am I listening to you? You're a woman. How dare you? You're old. Big deal. I'm smarter than you. I'm better looking than you. I have more money than you. Not me. I'm saying that, you know, we get all these fears, do we not? We get fears about witnessing. All we do is bear witness to what the truth is. And everybody in here that's a Christian knows everybody's a sinner. You know that. We know that Jesus is the only one righteous. That's why we're trusting Him. And we know that if we don't trust in Jesus Christ, what is our end? We're either going to heaven or hell. It's that simple. Sin, righteousness, judgment, it is that simple. That's what the Holy Spirit bears witness to. That's bearing witness for Christ, and that's how we be a witness for Christ. And if we do that, God's Spirit will be with us. And some people will be healed and helped, and some will be hardened, but that's not your responsibility. Your responsibility is to witness. He's a witness to you, and you're a witness for Him. And look at the proof here. They saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated, common men. They were astonished. It's astonishing sometimes to think about how we were saved and the person that brought it to us, you know, that preached. And we get to be a preacher years later, we think, man, they weren't very good, but you know what? The power of God was with them. Why? Because they spoke of sin, righteousness, and judgment. If you do that, the power of God will be with you. That's what the Spirit says. That's what the Scripture says. There's no denying that. You may not be the most polished guy. You may not be the most articulate speaker. You may still be learning the doctrines. You may be 12 years old, but you can speak to a 50 or a 60 or a 70-year-old about sin, righteousness, and judgment. And God works in that period. Because it says, my sons, my daughters, my slaves, my wife, all these people will prophesy. And everyone in here can prophesy because I can tell you why. Because if you don't accept Jesus, where will you end up? Hell? Is that the future? Yes, you just prophesied. You don't have to get all fancy, you know, this and this word and that word. That sin, righteousness, judgment. Let's leave it there, right? You don't have to be smarter than someone. He goes, they were astonished and they recognized that they had been with Jesus. People may look at you and say, you're just a fanatic. Oh, you've been indoctrinated. Hallelujah, I have. You've been Bible brainwashed. Hallelujah. But they'll know one thing. You've been around Jesus. Because everybody else wants to talk about your best life now, or this purpose, or the Jesus that's just moralism, or Jesus that's just this or that or the other thing. But the real Jesus, sin, righteousness, and judgment, and those that God is saving and bringing to Him, you may be the instrument, the catalyst that begins that process, and you might see them change right in front of your eyes. Because God's been seeding the ground. Because He convicts the world. The Holy Spirit is working on people now, even in this building right now. And He's convicting them of, you know what? Okay, I don't have to look around anybody else now. I realize that I do have sin. There's no doubt. Okay, this Jesus, there's nothing better than that. Oh. I know I got to do something. The whole world. Sin, righteousness, and judgment. And He might be drawing somebody. And you might be the one that sees them get saved, just like that. And if you don't want that, believe me, you do not want to be filled with the Spirit of God. Believe me. They recognized that they had been with Jesus. You, to witness for Christ, you do not have to be smarter than anyone else, let alone someone else. You don't have to have all the right answers answer all the objections. You just need to have been around the one true answer. The more you hang out with Jesus, the better witness you're going to be, because your life's going to be a witness. Hello! The Bible talks about that all the time. Peter even says, hey ladies, your man won't even let you talk about Jesus, but when he sees the change in your life, that will witness to him, believe me. I told people last week when we did our little graduation message, your situation when your parents might not have been so good or whatever, but the best way you can honor them is to honor and live for Jesus Christ, whether they recognize it or not. And we overcome people with our love. But it's an understanding of sin, righteousness, and judgment. It doesn't work out like the way we want it every time. It didn't work out for Peter right here. What did they do? You know, they beat him and told him not to do it and all that. And they just had all kinds of trouble. But you got to be willing to be a witness, a martyr, to die to self and live for God. That's what it means to be a witness for Jesus Christ. When you, through your own dynamic, your own education, your own development at the time, the own situation that you're in and all that, are willing to be bold and say, you know what, the situation may be something I don't think I'm ready for. The Spirit of God has made the person ready or not, and all you do is be a faithful witness to sin, justice, and righteousness. Sin, righteousness, and judgment. And if you do that, the Holy Spirit will be with you. And sometimes they'll be lit up. Sometimes they won't. But that's not your worry. Your concern is to be faithful. Heavenly Father, we are weak vessels, but we have a treasure in these jars of clay. And sometimes we have to witness boldly, and boy, it doesn't work out very good for us at all. But that's not what we're concerned with. We want people to see Jesus. And to see Jesus, they need to know their sin. They need to know that He is the righteous one. And they need to know that He's the only way out. That's how people need to meet Jesus, not just as some good teacher, not just as, well, He's a little better than somebody else. Not just, I wish everybody else would be like Him, but He's what I personally need and I must have, or I do not have salvation. For there is no other name by which men must be saved but through Christ Jesus. Jesus, You said You are the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father but by You. Bring us home, Lord. In Your name we pray. Amen.